For those of you who are joining us for the first time, maybe in a while, maybe since the last Christian Worldview Film Festival, we are in a series of messages that is focused on finding rest. And if you happen to have noticed that video bumper, it could just about put you to sleep. There's so much rest that is happening in that one bumper. But this morning, we are going to start with a very familiar passage of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Those are the very first words of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. It is the beginning of life as we know it. In fact, the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. Within the first handful of verses, we discover the beginning of time and space and matter. We are introduced to a God who is so powerful that he creates everything in this universe out of nothing. He speaks and it happens. As we read further in the book of Genesis, we discover the beginning of humanity, the beginning of marriage, the beginning of personal responsibility. God creates Adam and Eve. He brings them together in marriage, and then he places them in charge of his creation. They are told to be fruitful and multiply. They are told to subdue as well as to steward the earth that is around them. The setting is absolutely perfect. That is the opportunity for life and the opportunity for relationship with God in that moment is optimal. And yet no sooner are Adam and Eve mentioned than we find a new set of beginnings. There's the beginning of temptation, the beginning of sin, the beginning of sacrifice, the beginning of painful consequences. The beauty of God's creation is marred by the effects of sin. And that's just the beginning of the beginnings. But there's another beginning that is right in between those two events that is absolutely crucial for our current series. In Genesis chapter 2, it shows the beginning of rest. Now, I want you to note that this idea of seventh day rest or creation rest, it came far before Sabbath rest that is mentioned in the Old Testament. It came far before symbolic rest that is connected with the Exodus. It came long before soul rest that was made possible by the finished work of Jesus on the cross. In fact, these initial teachings on seventh day creation rest, it lays a foundation for biblical rest all through the rest of Scripture. For you and I to understand God's design for rest, it is imperative that we understand the foundation that is laid in creation itself. Now, I want us to pause here for just a moment. Whenever the topic of rest comes up in Christian circles, very quickly the conversation moves towards Sabbath rest, rest that is described by Mosaic law, and that's understandable. Teachings on Sabbath that's found primarily within the Old Testament, it defined much of the Jewish understanding about rest as a whole. And since Christians share Old Testament scripture with the Jewish people, we are familiar with the term, although we struggle with the meaning of the term. There's a lot of confusion over the idea of Sabbath. Is it a day of worship? Is it a day of rest? Is it the seventh day? Is it part of Mosaic law? If it is a part of Mosaic law, then are Christians supposed to observe Sabbath today? And if Sabbath was the seventh day, then why do Christians primarily worship God on the first day, being Sunday? Is it okay for me to cut my grass on Sabbath day? Can I go fishing on Sabbath day? There's a lot of confusion that is surrounding this idea of Sabbath. And as a part of this particular series, I'm trying to give clarity in areas of confusion. So this last week, we began the entire series talking about rest for your soul out of Matthew chapter 11. And this week, we're focused on the beginning of rest as it is mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. Now, let me say again, these initial teachings of creation rest, it's going to provide the foundation, the understanding for rest both in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. What I mean by that is when God instituted Sabbath over in Exodus chapter 20, he goes back and he founds it. He grounds that idea in creation rest that's mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. When God addresses the believer's rest over in Hebrews chapter 4, he anchors those teachings right back into this same creation rest that is found in Genesis 2. In other words, creation rest lays the foundation for biblical rest. It all starts in the beginning. It all starts Genesis chapter 2. So what does Genesis 2 teach us about finding rest? How does the word Sabbath even fit into the conversation? And what are the principles of rest that are found in the creation narrative that actually still bring rest to you and I today in 2025? We got a lot to cover this morning. I'm excited that you're here. Go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 2. This is going to be the easiest book you will ever find in the Bible on a Sunday morning. Just go to the very beginning, open the cover up, and you're pretty much there. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to be in verses 1 through 3. I am speaking this morning on the subject, the beginning of rest. Here's what it says. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their host. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Let's pray. Father, would you allow your Spirit to walk us slowly through your word? May all of the pieces, all of the connections get formed in our minds. May we clearly walk away from this text with exactly what you desire for us to know. In Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis chapter 1, it walks us through the first 6 days of creation. We read about the creation of light, the firmament, dry land and sea, plants and trees, creatures in the sea, birds of the sky, and finally we read about the animals and the humans who live on the land. Each day has this repeated phrase, God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. Each of these days has a repeated timestamp. There was evening and there was morning one day. There was evening and there was morning a second day. And these passages also have a repeated acknowledgement of the goodness of everything that God has created. The phrase, God saw that it was good, it's found in verses 10, 12, 18, and a longer version of that in chapter 1, verse 31. So in verses 28 through 30, God gives humanity instructions as well as responsibility. We are told, we are instructed, be fruitful and multiply. Then we're told to subdue creation, rule over creation, and steward creation. Creation is given as a blessing to humanity. And all of that leads to the seventh day that is mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. Now, the seventh day is unlike the first six. There is no creative work of God on the seventh day. Those repeated phrases of God said, and it was so, it's missing on the seventh day. In fact, God does not speak, nor does God work as he did in the previous days. God tells us that his work is completed, chapter 2, verse 1. It's done, verse number 2. It's created and made, both past tense, verse number 3. There is no time stamp that is mentioned on the seventh day. There was evening and there was morning, a seventh day. That does not exist in the seventh day. And also, there's no declaration of his creation being good. This day is entirely different. But there's two times that it tells us that God did not work. It tells us multiple times he rested from his work. The emphasis in day number 7 is on the rest of God. In fact, that emphasis is so strong that it's mentioned 3 other times in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, chapter 2, and also chapter 8. It's mentioned 1 time in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and 3 more times in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, chapter 12, and also chapter 25. Finally, in Psalm chapter 95, verse 11, as well as Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11, it connects God's rest in creation with the future rest that awaits all believers. In other words, everything we're going to study about rest, everything you're going to find about rest in Scripture, it is being grounded in these initial teachings that are happening way over in Genesis chapter 2. Now, let's pause there for just a moment. I have just unloaded a lot of information on you in a very short period of time. And before all the eyes glaze over and people tune me out, let's make sure everybody knows what you need to know at this particular point. Here's the summary of what I just said. The first 6 days of creation have repeated patterns, phrases, and timestamps. The seventh day of creation breaks from those patterns, does not contain those phrases, and does not have a timestamp. Day seven is unlike any other day. Day seven is special, so special that in verse number 3, it tells us God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Why does that matter? Those two words, blessed and sanctified, are extremely unusual in this. Here's what I mean by that. Generally speaking, Scripture only uses the word blessed for things that are alive. Let that sink in for just a moment. It uses the word blessed and connected with God, connection with people, connection with animals. When God blesses a person or when God blesses an animal, it leads to fruitfulness as well as success. But here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, God blesses a day. And he even tells us why it's blessed in verse 3, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. The blessing flows from God's rest. Now, it almost seems paradoxical that God blessed the one day in which he ceased from any type of creative activity. And yet, that's exactly what the text tells us. Not only did he bless that day, he sanctified that day. Again, the wording is extremely unusual. Generally speaking, Scripture only uses the word sanctify. Also, it's translated as hallow or holy. It only uses that word for God, for places, for people, and for religious objects. It's not typically used of days. Apart from the seventh day that is now mentioned as holy in this passage, there's only one other place in Scripture that's found in Nehemiah chapter 8 where God blesses a day. Why is that significant? Here it is. Because holiness is a part of the essence of God's character. When you find holiness, it's connecting back to him. In Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet, he saw the Lord seated on his throne, and the angels around the throne, they declare to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, John testified that the four living creatures were saying to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." Did you know there's only two times in the Bible that those holy, holy, holies, it's called the trihagion in theological circles. Only two times it's found in the Bible. One time in the Old Testament, one time in the New Testament. In other words, the same God of the Old Testament is the same exact God of the New Testament. It's the same God. Holiness flows from God. When something is described as holy, it's chosen by God. It's set apart unto God. It is to be used according to his purposes. Let this sink in. The very first thing sanctified or declared as holy in the Bible is the seventh day. It's different than any other day. Everything about the seventh day is saying this day is different. This day is unique. This day is special. It is blessed. It is sanctified. It is set aside. And oh yeah, by the way, everything I've just shared with you a moment ago, it wasn't just for seventh-day trivia. Here's a key piece. Unlike the other 7 days of creation that conclude with a time stamp, there is no time stamp on day seven. There is no, there was evening and there was morning, a seventh day. In that respect, the seventh day stands apart as having no conclusion. There is an eternal significance that has now been placed on the seventh day. The very first time the word rest is found in the Bible, it's found in connection with the seventh day. God blessed and he sanctified the seventh day because he rested on the seventh day. There's two primary words for rest that are found in the Hebrew language. The first word is Shabbat. It is the root of the word Sabbath. It means to stop working. That's word number one. The second word is Nuach. It means to dwell, settle, or abide. God introduces both of these words in a relatively short period of time. After 6 days of creation work, God rested Shabbat on the seventh day, Genesis chapter 2, 2 and 3. A few verses later, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God takes Adam and Eve and he rests them. He settles them in the garden with him. The literary structure, it communicates a link between those two words. God rests from his work, Shabbat. And then God rests his people to abide in his presence, Nuach. All of that is leading into our key truth. And man, this key truth, it has been rocking my world for this last week. It might not sound like much on the front side, but give me a moment to develop it. Our rest is connected to his finished work. Our rest, you and I, our ability to rest today, it links back to his finished work. God did not rest because he was tired. He did not rest because he was exhausted from creation. He rested because he was done. He rested because he was finished. Creation was complete. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, the heavens and the earth were completed. It's done. As the creative work of God is done, you know what it requires now? The sustaining grace of God to keep it moving forward. By the way, that's a whole other message right there. Donald Barnhouse wrote a devotional study, the book of Genesis, and he quoted verse number 2. And here's what he said. By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested. And right after that, Barnhouse wrote this note. But not for long. Did you know God's rest was interrupted by our sin? After the fall in Genesis 3, a brand new work of God now begins. It's the work of redemption. Now again, take all of this back to that key truth. Our rest is connected to his finished work. Our rest is connected to his finished work. Did you know every time I leave my office at the end of the day, I still have more work left to do? There are more messages to write. There's more emails to return. There's more meetings to have. There's more problems to solve. I have never been able to go home and say, Bria, it's done. Every bit of my work is finished. I've never had that opportunity. But listen to this. After 6 days of creation, not only was his work good, it was done. Nothing left to do. God's creation work was finished. And it is in this moment he sets a pattern that is going to be repeated at multiple other key moments moving forward in the biblical timeline. Look at it like this. In creation rest, that's Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. That is, the heavens and the earth were completed. When God the Father completed his work in creation, he rested his people. He settled his people in his presence in the garden. Then, down the road, there's going to be Calvary rest. If you'll remember, Jesus has gone to the cross. He's on the cross. He's paying the penalty for our sin. And John chapter 19, verse 30, it says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. When he finished his work on the cross, he now invites repentant people to come to him and experience rest for their soul. Our rest is connected to his finished work. And then also, there's confident rest. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it." When the Holy Spirit starts his sanctifying work in our life, he promises to complete what he started. And the Apostle Paul says, "I'm confident in this very thing." Why is he confident? Because God always finishes what he starts. That pattern is established back in creation. That is, when he says it, he does it. When he begins it, he completes it. That pattern is established in creation, and it brings rest to us today. I want you to hold that thought and let's come off to the side. I want to try to make a connection here. Think about the most dependable person you know. It might be a parent, maybe a spouse, it might be a mentor, a close friend, family member. Think of the most dependable person you know. If this person tells you they will be at a certain place at a certain time, you can take it to the bank. They're going to be at that place and at that time. They keep their word. If this person is given a task to do, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to be done, and it's going to be done with excellence. They don't leave anything half done. They don't leave anything sloppy. If you need something, this person is there in good times as well as in bad times. If you need to talk to someone, they are there to process information with you. If you need support, they are there to help. If you need somebody to defend you, that person has your back. They are dependable. They are trustworthy. They are safe. Did you know that type of person brings rest to every person around them? People can rest around them because they keep their word. People can rest around them because they know they're going to get the job done. It is going to be done with excellence. People can rest around them because they're constantly there when they need help. That type of person brings our blood pressure down, lifts our levels of joy up. And here it is. They allow us to feel safe and settled and rested. Take that idea and bring it back to the qualities of God we just described. Whatever he says, it happens. God said, and it was so. Whatever he starts, he completes. The heavens and the earth were completed. Whatever he does, it's going to be excellent. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And whatever the situation, he's there. The Lord made garments of skin for Adam and Eve, his wife, and clothed them. Even in their sin, God did not run. God was there. He was present. The foundation for experiencing meaningful rest in our life today comes from being rightly related to the Creator who keeps his word, who completes his work, who does everything with excellence, and who is always present. Somebody might say, "Paul, I get what you're saying. I get it. But I'm struggling with rest because I can't see how the ends are going to meet." I understand that's difficult in the moment, but I need you to get a close view of that Creator. He is a God who is so powerful, he can speak to what is not and make it be. He is more than capable of meeting your needs. Somebody might say, "Paul, I can't rest because I got to hold my family together. I got to hold this business together. I got to hold this ministry together. I got to hold the situation together." I understand it's difficult. In that moment, we want to be responsible. But I need you to remember, the same God who created everything out of nothing holds it together with the power of his word. He can sustain you too. Somebody might say, "Paul, I'm restless and I'm afraid because everywhere I look in my life, the enemy is attacking me. He's attacking my family. I don't feel like I can rest. I know that there's a part of us that we get afraid when we see the enemy coming, but I need you to remember when Satan left Adam and Eve broken and fearful, they were met by the God of creation who came to them with grace and with help. By the way, my Bible still says, if God is for you, who can be against you? You can rest in him. Our rest is connected to his finished work. God's example of rest in creation is what helps us find rest today. Now, I'm going to give you five principles that we find from this text. None of these are long. All of these are important. But then next week, we're going to keep adding to these principles because it undergirds our ability to find rest today. Here's principle number one. Rest requires personal discipline. To stop working, to dwell, to settle, to abide, all of the words connected in chapter 2 of rest will require us to say no to certain things. Saying no requires discipline. Saying no requires boundaries. Saying no requires us to have priorities and to live by those priorities. You and I cannot accept every invitation, engage in every cause, be a part of every group, avail ourselves to every meeting, pursue every hobby, serve in every need, and expect to have any level of meaningful rest in our life. There's only so much time in a day. There's only so much energy in the tank. There's only so much that we can go before the body says, it's time to rest. But that rest requires discipline. Somebody might say, but Paul, I'm not tired. I can keep going. Hey, let me say, God wasn't tired either. And he rested on the seventh day. All because we can keep going doesn't mean we should keep going. Taking rest seriously is not only about addressing a physical need of the body, it's about following an example that has been set by God in creation. And that example set by God lays the foundation for every type of rest in our life. Principle number two, rest involves humble trust. Saying no to more work, to more opportunities, to more causes, even if those things are good, requires us to trust that the same God who told us to rest is the same God who can hold it all together without our involvement. That requires trust. Rest requires trust. We're saying, God, I trust that by resting as you have described, it's the right thing to do. It's the most important thing to do. When you and I set boundaries to protect our physical and our mental health, when you and I set boundaries to protect our marriage and our family commitments, when you and I set boundaries to protect our time in the Word of God and our time to be able to hear God's voice in prayer, please hear me. Those boundaries do not reduce our kingdom usefulness. They fuel kingdom usefulness. Those boundaries are what positions us to walk by faith. And by the way, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those boundaries is what positions us to hear from God in prayer. If we just do activity apart from hearing from God, it's in our effort and not his grace. Those boundaries help us to be led by the Spirit. Those boundaries help us to run the race with endurance, not limping in the race, not frazzled by the pace, but rather running the race with endurance. Yesterday, a lady in our church, Heather Holton, she sent me a quote. She's like, this quote seems to line up with your series. And I was like, oh yeah, it lines up with the series. I want you to listen to this quote. Rest is not a reward for finishing everything on your to-do list. It is an act of faith that reminds your soul, God is in control, not me. That requires trust. It requires faith. Principle number three. Rest includes elements of beauty and joy. It includes elements of beauty and joy. One of the repeated phrases that I've shared with you all the way through the first 6 days of creation is God seeing all that he had made and saying, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's very good. And then he rested on the seventh day. Part of experiencing rest is enjoying the work that has been done. It's good for you and I to take moments that we're resting and we're reflecting back on what has happened, on what God has allowed us to be a part of. Taking joy in what was accomplished, taking joy in what was completed. I've said it before, work is a gift. Work is not a part of the fall. Work is a gift. Work was instituted prior to the fall. You know how much of a gift it is when you cannot work as you desire, when you're sick, when we are drained of energy. You recognize how wonderful it is to be able to go out and to feel productive and to do what it is that you sense God leading you to do. There is a part of stopping what we're doing and resting that allows us to look back and to say, that was good. That was great. There's a part of our rest that is also us looking back and saying, it was God who gave me the health to work. It was God who gave me the mind to think. It was God who gave the ability to produce. And there's a part of joy in reflecting on what he has done. When we rest, we can pause to thank him. I don't know if you've noticed, but also when you rest, you have the ability to see things you don't see at other times. There's a greater clarity. Have you ever noticed that if you pull away from work for a couple of days, much less a vacation, you come back to work with clearer thinking than what you had when you left? There's something about rest that allows the mind to settle down. Have you ever noticed how when you walk on the beach, a part of God's creation, at sunrise, you see beauty in a way you just don't normally see it. And it brings a calmness into your spirit. Have you ever noticed if you're in the mountains and watching the sun go down over top of the mountains? There's a rest that comes in watching God's creation that you just don't get at other times. It's when we slow down that we notice more things. We gain perspective. We see beauty. We are awakened by the glory of God in creation. Part of rest is exactly what God did after each of those 6 days. He looked and said it was good. He's taken joy in what is beautifully made. Principle number four, rest is satisfied in completed work. Now, this principle is closely tied to the last one, but it is just a little bit different. When we have worked hard and done all that we can be satisfied with the work that has been completed. Look again at what it says in Genesis 2:2. By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Notice the sequence. He was finished with the work. He's satisfied with the work. He rests from work. You and I might not have time to do everything we want to do on any given day, but every single one of us has all the time that is needed to do what God is leading us to do on any given day. Amen. The time is there. When we've done what God has called us to do with the best of our ability to the grace that has been extended to us, we can be satisfied. It's enough. Did you know one of the dangers of excessive busyness is we lose gratefulness and we lose satisfaction in what has been accomplished? We're so focused on the next hill, the next mountain, the next project, the next thing, that we fail to pause and say, God, thank you for what you just did here. Thank you that you allowed me to be a part of that. Thank you for your sustaining grace in this moment. Thank you for the way you've brought the pieces together. We lose a lot of that, which, by the way, it will impact not only our hearts, it'll also impact our worship. When we keep running, without a deep sense of gratitude and satisfaction in what God has done, it's not long before our hearts are trying to worship on empty because we're not taking the time to enjoy the beauty of what God has accomplished. Here is the next piece, principle number 5. Rest is fully experienced with God. Whenever we study Genesis chapter 2, it is important to remember those two words for rest. The first word for rest means ceasing from work. The second word that was used of rest in Genesis 2 described God settling his people in his presence in the garden. Here's the principle behind that. We rest with God, not away from God. Ask yourself the question whenever you have downtime, whenever you're not working, whenever you're not with other people. Are you resting with God? Are you trying to rest away from God? Is God even a part of the consideration? Now, we need to point this out because biblical rest is not passivity. Biblical rest is not a person just checking out on the world and everything that's going on in the world. Biblical rest is not self-centered me time where we spend an entire day focused on nothing other than me. By the way, if you spend time in the presence of God, he will challenge every selfish, me-driven tendency that you might have. Biblical rest is fully experienced in the presence of God. Now, somebody says, now, does that mean that I always have to be praying to be resting? Does that mean I always have to be in the Word to be resting? Does that mean I always have to be in a sermon to be resting? Nope. Do you know you can rest in the presence of God just by walking through creation? You can rest in the presence of God by playing with your children and your grandchildren. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. You can rest by having a meal with your family. You can rest by being able to pray and to process the events of the day. The question here is, are you resting by inviting God into this moment? Like, God, help me to understand what you're doing. Help me to see you in the simple things. Help me to see you in your gifts. Help me to see you in every part of this. Or are we trying to just get away from everything? That's not biblical rest. Biblical rest happens in the presence of God. Now, we have covered a lot of ground today. We have covered creation, rest, and that's important because next week we're going to come back and we're going to see how Sabbath rest, as instituted in the Ten Commandments, how that is connected back to what we just discussed a few moments ago. So here's my thing. Don't forget anything I just said today. Okay. Because you're going to need every bit of that this next week. And by the way, you'll need it the week after that and the week after that. So we're laying the groundwork today. But what we're doing is we're moving the entire conversation towards what's referred to in Hebrews as the believer's rest. I'm just going to give you just a sneak peek of what's going on. It's so good, I can't stand it. Here's what Hebrews 4 says. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's going to be a reference to the Mosaic Law. For the one who has entered his rest, speaking of Jesus, that's the rest that can only come through the cross. It says, as he himself has rested from his works, talking about the person physically resting from their works in life and their attempts to try to please God. It says, as God did from his, referring back to creation rest that we just mentioned. And then it says, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. In other words, all along the way, he's laying the pieces down saying, if you want to experience full rest, you need to see what I did in creation, see what happened with the law, see what Jesus did on the cross, see how you're trying to achieve something apart from me, and remember what the Father did at creation. Line it up, because that's going to lead towards full rest. Our rest is connected to his finished work. So let me ask you, have you placed faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross? The reason we began this entire series this last week talking about rest for your soul is because until a person experiences right relationship with God, all the rest might be interesting, but there's no enablement to step into it. There's no wisdom to even see the necessity of it. Are you trying to find rest apart from God? Whenever you are spending time away from work, are you just like vegging out on Netflix and trying to escape reality for the next 6 hours? How does God fit into that equation? Are you trying to get away from all responsibility? Is that what we're describing in Scripture? You see, there's a pattern in creation that sets up the pattern for rest in each of our lives. How are you processing your rest with God? I ask you, if you would, bow with me for just a moment. As our worship team comes forward, we're also going to have some of our pastors and our pastors' wives. It'll be along the front. There'll be other counselors who are here. If you might need prayer this morning, maybe you're in a place where you're saying, I have never experienced rest with God through Jesus Christ. I've never experienced soul rest. If that's the case, come talk to one of these pastors or talk to one of the pastors' wives. It might be that you're trying to experience rest apart from God, and you're like, I'm trying to take time off of work, and yet I still feel drained. Part of that is we were never intended to live a life of rest apart from His presence. Where in your life right now is God saying, this is the principle that applies to you? Where is God calling you to rest, and you're saying, but I don't have time? And He's saying, no, I need you to trust me. Where are you saying, God, I'm afraid? And He's saying, I'll deal with those fears when you bring them to me. How is God leading in your life right now in the area of rest? We're going to have a word of prayer. We'll do a final song of invitation. And then it'll be open for you to respond as the Spirit of God leads you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your completed work. Thank you for a call to rest. And thank you, Lord, that we can experience rest in you. So, Lord, may we not make things more complicated than they need to be. God, help us to see what are the things hindering us from moving forward with rest and with you. God will be grateful for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me at this time? The altar is open. It's going to be a final song of invitation. Would you respond as the Spirit leads you?